This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
You want some pull?
Yeah, give me some pull. They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours.
Take off your shirt and throw me.
Take off your shorts and dunk me.
Resourceful little bitch.
You literally just blow the hell out of these hawks.
Smiles and glory hope.
Omaha! Omaha!
El Trevador.
I was wondering what your break was. Your spirit or your body?
Ow! 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 Fire away, big boy.
Where are you something else?
Are you out of your mind?
I like that you're here.
You're welcome for me being here today.
Super duper.
Right. By the way,
what Bravo. Do you have on your mind?
Well, Bravo on that whole thing.
What?
The montage.
Oh, thanks.
It was well done.
Thanks.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I love the ow drop.
Ha!
I don't know where that's from.
That's John Sterling.
Is that John Sterling?
Getting hit
by a foul ball.
In the booth.
Yeah. In the booth, yeah.
But it made me wonder, why do we say ow?
Ow! Ow!
Like, we don't, like, I get it. You're like, ah! Or, you know, I curse.
Nah.
Usually, if I get hurt, there's usually an S or an F involved in mine. But why ow?
I don't know.
Like, where did that...
Why don't you look that up?
When did we start? Like, you stub your toe, you're like, ow!
This is what internet was made for, answering questions like this.
Does it just come out of, like, the ah, and then we turned it into ow? I don't know. It just seems like an odd thing that we all say when you get hurt.
Don't know.
That was the dart guy farting, remember?
Ooh, that was a juicy
they
one.
Said it was he said it was a shoe or something like that.
Oh, that is.
The dude at the darts championship ripping one as he walked by.
You know, lost in there was the Victor Hovland drop.
Mm-hmm.
Just got shit on.
When a bird crapped on him
while
he was golfing.
I did have one of those this weekend when me and the missus were out and about. We were having a little staycation sort of thing, and I had a pair of Air Maxes, and I think my fat ass blew out the back of them because I was walking, and we kept hearing some. My gal was like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "I couldn't hear it," and then I started paying attention to it, and it was like a little. And I blew out, I blew a hole in the back of my air pocket.
If you get a puncture in one of those AirPods, I've had that happen to me too. It's annoying.
And then I spent the entire day, and then it drove me insane because we were out walking around in the city, and everywhere I went, it was driving me nuts. And then I started noticing that I actually had a flat tire. So one side was a little lower than the other, and that noise drove me insane. And someone probably thought that I was dropping little toots, the entire time walking around. There's little air pockets the entire time. I don't know how I popped the back of it, but apparently I did.
Excuse me.
I didn't know necessarily that. I think it was the first time I've ever done that.
And I ripped his ass, quite frankly.
Thanks a lot, Nike.
Love is in the air, Jace. Love is in the air.
Bill Belichick style?
This is an Aero Mexico captain.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what you guys think of this, because I don't like this for a lot of reasons. But
talk to me, Goose.
He was flying a plane. He's a captain of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
He's flying.
Yeah.
And they get to cruising altitude of 30,000 feet, and he comes over the loudspeaker and says the following. And this is all in Spanish. Okay, so this is Aero Mexico.
I was going to say, are you giving it to me in Spanish, or just you're translating?
Today I boarded that same person who has transformed my life, my co-pilot of love and life, Norma Baserto.
Wait, he's boarding her?
Right.
That's a little uncomfortable.
A little weird.
Yeah. I mean, just boarding someone. Hey, hey, Nurse Nice, you want to board me tonight?
Something could be lost in translation there, but that's what it says.
Yeah, okay.
From the day I met you, I knew I wanted to fly by your side in every adventure, in every storm and clear sky that
can I tell you,
life presents to us.
I already hate him right now that he's making these analogies.
Honey, I knew you were special from the day I met you, but over time I realized that you are everything I dreamed of. You are my refuge, my joy, and the reason why I want to be better every day.
Hmm.
You have been my companion in great challenges and wonderful moments. Then he asked her to stand up.
So she's back.
She's on the she's in first class.
Oh. Must be nice.
And he's up there, you know, reading his little thing.
So he's not
not flying the plane.
He's still in the cockpit. He has not come back.
This is on the loudspeaker.
Okay.
So everyone's listening to this. And he then asked her to stand up, explaining that he was watching through the cameras.
Oh, that's creepy.
Again, stop what it. Is with this guy?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but yeah. All right.
So she stands up. He comes out of the cockpit, walks down the aisle, and drops to a knee and proposes
standing ovation.
And everyone,
yeah.
Apparently they did not get a standing ovation,
really?
But people did clap.
Oh.
Of course.
Well, I was going to say, you got to clap for that, right?
Assuming she says yes.
Again, I'm assuming that if you go, you know, if you're going to board each other, I'm assuming you know whether or not.
What if he got heckled, like, get back in the cockpit?
That would be you. I could see you
like,
being,
what are you
excuse
doing?
Me, sir. And, like, you don't speak Spanish. You don't know what's going on other than, hey, get your ass back in the cockpit. What the hell, man?
Well, I've got a lot of problems with this. One, I'm sorry, that's a lot about him.
That is a lot about
she,
him.
You think she wants to get proposed to on an airplane?
She wants to get boarded? Well, you are a captain. I mean, isn't
I
that...
know, but again, that makes it about him.
Yeah. Mm. Dude, he's such an effing loser.
Two, what if, you know, like, that's a big moment. He's got this whole thing written out. What if he's got jitters and his mind's not right? And all of a sudden he presses the wrong button and the plane goes into a nosedive.
What if she says no and he's racked
exactly.
the rest of the flight? What if she's like, I'm sorry, I hate this.
Yeah,
no.
This is not
and
good.
And he's like, I got this thing. He's like, I'm emotional distress.
He, and he stumbles back to the cockpit and he takes everybody down to hell with him.
I'm going to say this for the guy. If he was not certain that the boarding was going to occur... Right? He's like, yeah, she may pull the chute. This may be the greatest proposal of all time because think about the pressure. This is the, she won't say no because of the implications. She can't say no for all that. Everyone's eyes are on
she
her.
She has to say yes.
She has to say yes.
Because if I say no right now.
Now you've got a jittery, shaky captain. Yeah, you can't. He's depressed. So I think that, believe it or not, if he's not certain of the boarding, that may be the best place to propose. She can't say
well,
no.
I also think another thing about this is when you come out there and you drop to a knee and you drop that rock on it and you board her right in front of everyone.
let's do some boarding right now.
You now have to go back into the cockpit and fly the plane and she just has to sit there twiddling her thumbs.
A little awkward.
Not that cool.
No, probably not.
Right?
Yeah. Look, I think the whole situation is weird. Don't get me wrong.
It's very weird.
But I will say that, like, one, you're at cruising altitude, so autopilot. You got your...
What if he forgot to put it in autopilot?
Well, you got someone else. You're not allowed. There's always someone else. In fact, I think on these big planes, you have to have two.
What if he was
there.
Distracted for his entire flight prep? I mean, the whole thing going
That's right.
on. Like, which one do you think is more forefront of his mind? All his passengers or his fiance?
That's right. I need my captain focused.
Look, you're not wrong. You're really not wrong in that, but... And I wonder if his bosses had any sort of issue with that.
Like, I would imagine so.
Surely he had to clear that.
I would think. I don't know. I mean, you are the captain.
You can't just be doing bits.
You're just making your own rules. I don't know. The Southwest captains are always up there making things.
Yeah, that's true. They're rapping about your safety. Yeah. It's all sorts of...
But they just say stuff. They don't come out and...
Come like, down on one knee.
I mean, this guy just came out and said stuff.
Well, but...
It's a bold move.
Again, it took his attention away from...
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't want it out of my captain.
I just imagine Rop in the front of that plane being like, not okay.
Like, nah,
not okay.
Get back up there.
And then you find out a superior's like, we don't trust this pilot anymore. He's got to turn the plane around. And Rop's like, no, you can't turn it around.
And it is true. Jordan is in. And because if she said no, I'll tell you what. I would be white knuckling that for the rest of
well,
that
that's
flight.
That's what Buck said.
Yeah, that's really nerve wracking.
That's the best point is that what if she says no?
I'll tell you what, I'm coming up from the third row and being like, you say yes right now, or be like, hey, do I do anything for you? Because I'll say yes right now. Just
you jump
land
up
me.
There and say, hey, you need to go knock on that cockpit door and you need to tell him
yes
right now.
Tell him you made a horrible, horrible mistake. You were taken off guard. I don't know. You took a sleeping pill. The answer to that question is yes. You do not upset the man in charge of the 737. You don't do that. It's no good.
Another text says, Captain should be single, hungover, and have a will live only out of spite. Yeah, I think that's right.
Dude, the public...
That's my captain.
The public in general, the public, the proposal, it's a bold move. Do you know anyone that's ever proposed publicly?
Well,
I don't think
yeah,
I...
Yeah, Mike, the kids did.
They? Where,
yeah.
where did...
They were in...
Where'd Meat go?
They were up in what's the city in Canada across from Vancouver, BC?
Victoria?
Victoria. They were in Victoria.
In front of a bunch of people?
I mean, sort of. It was a public space, and there were people that happened to be there.
So they were clapping and...
But they didn't do it for a multi-hundred person audience on a aircraft.
Yeah, like, airplane, you're captive.
Yeah.
You have an audience.
It's like when that church group stood up and started playing Kumbaya on the guitar. You got to be careful with that. It's our shared space. And now you're taking that up.
I just
don't know. The public proposal is always it's an interesting thing.
I don't want my captain to show me that he is human in any other way other than being a badass. Okay?
You want him to be a robot.
Yes.
Just fly the damn plane.
Put on your cool hat.
Straighten those wings and let's go.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm
talk really cool over the loudspeaker.
Yeah. Because even if he's happy, he's still very emotional. Is that a good thing?
Okay, this is Captain Johnson. about 30,000 feet up there. And things are looking pretty smooth, but we got to turn off that... seatbelt sign, we will do that. Get up in about the cabin and grope whoever you'd like. Until then, sit back, relax, enjoy the flight.
Are you allowed to propose on an airplane if you're not the captain?
Well, nobody would do that.
Could I?
Because it's only cool if the captain does it.
So it's not
like
cool.
Why would you? That's another point. That's another
Adam
great
Sandler
point.
Did in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah,
hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
All I want to do is grow old with you. He had his guitar out. He serenaded.
No one wants to get proposed to on an airplane.
I wouldn't.
That's
think
why
so.
You don't see it.
No.
Other than the captain who makes it all about himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like this guy.
Trying to think what would happen if I went up to the steward. It's not a stewardess anymore. It's a flight
attendant.
It was like, hey, can I commandeer the PA for 30 to 45 seconds, I'd like to give a weird, long-winded speech about my baby down there, and then I'd like to get on one knee. Would they let me?
No.
Would they let me?
No.
I can't commandeer the mic for a proposal?
No. Have you ever seen them give the mic to anyone?
I kind of want to see this.
I feel like it's against the federal regulations.
I don't know. I kind of want to ask next time I'm on a plane.
Hold on, everybody. Yeah,
but then I'm kind of, then it's a sticky situation because then
here's the situation.
What if I just said, hey, hypothetically, I don't want to propose right now, but if I wanted to, would I be allowed to have the intercom? Or would I have to stand up and then just yell? Could I mean.
Well, why would you, like, that's another stupid thing. Like, I'm going to yell because I believe you all want to hear what I'm doing.
Well, clearly anyone who's doing this wants to have a production, have a show be made of this. So it's well, about that.
Again, that's what I'm saying. The captain made it all about
himself.
That's
why you would yell.
You know he was filming it for the gram. You got to film it. Otherwise, what else are we doing?
I don't know. The more I even think about it, the more I hate the guy.
Well, I will say, the moment you started reading his speech, I instantly started hating him. Because he was doing the flight analogies and all that. Oh my god, you're my co-pilot in life, and you know you're my wing, dude.
I've boarded you.
I'll tell you right now, 100%. When the BTJ comes home tonight, I'm gonna be like, hey, I want to board you.
It's boarding season.
What boarding group are you in?
Hey.
Boarding group A for available. Let's go.
Row 69, prepare to be boarded. Let's go.
Hey, we got a new POTUS.
What?
Well, we got a new president.
As of a couple weeks ago.
We have a new POTUS.
We have a new POTUS.
Well, we've had a new POTUS for like
I know, but under the new POTUS, there really aren't any federal regulations, so maybe you can do whatever you want up there.
It really doesn't seem. Our new fearless leader, Elon Musk.
But, All right. Well, I didn't like that. Captain Aero Mexico can go straight to hell. I don't want him being my captain. Mm-hmm. But congratulations on possibly getting married.
on possibly getting married. And finding the person that he would like to board. He better not get caught boarding a different plane. I'll tell you that right now.
I have hot news coming out of the art world.
Mm. Well, you know, I love
this is big news.
I love my art.
More googly eyes on deer?
No. Quite the opposite. Coming up next on The Fan.
By the way, this whole airplane proposal and the airplane sex talk, this is going to be fantastic. There are so many great inappropriate references you can make regarding aviation. It truly is. This is going to be fantastic tonight. From boarding, honey, my seat and tray table are both in the upright and locked position. I mean, come on. There are so many taxiing references. I mean,
the obvious
great.
One is, hey, you want to see my cockpit?
Exactly. You want to tour the cockpit? Let's go. I mean, this is all good times. So maybe this guy was onto something with his.
We are expecting some turbulence this evening.
It's going to be a bit bumpy. But don't worry, it's not going to last that long. We'll be through these bumps in just a moment.
A few short bumps. Can I shove my bag into your bin space?
Boy, that's hot.
if there's not room, I can check that for you. Oh, so many good things.
Well, the big hot art news. I'm surprised you don't know about this.
No.
You being an artsy fartsy goober.
I like to run around the art community, me and my other libs.
Well, there was a garage sale in Minnesota.
Oh, you know what? I think I may have actually seen this.
See, you're on the art news.
Yeah, I think I have seen this.
Well, some guy bought a Van Gogh painting at a garage sale in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And he eventually sold it to collectors who thought it might be a real Van Gogh.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy thought he was buying a, you know, like a print of something.
Yeah. It wasn't a print?
No.
Or was it?
See, this always scares me because it's like there's been so many art fakes. Remember, there was a big scandal. There was like one dude that was doing this. He was recreating. It wasn't recreating. He was making new paintings that were being passed off. And he said that you're going to get a point where you have no idea if what you're looking at is an actual Van Gogh or whatnot. So, like, who's to say if this is real or not?
So they're saying that this one was like the last one he painted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really well known. And nobody really knew about it except for all the Van Gogh geeks who are
saying this is the very last one.
At the museum, the Van Gogh Museum, which is in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And so they knew of its existence, but nobody else really did. And so So it shows up at some garage sale in Minnesota.
Yeah, from Minnetonkin.
And this dude's like, oh, that looks pretty cool. I'll buy that.
$50.
$50.
$50.
He paid for it. Well, an antique collector discovered that this guy had the painting. And so some group, you know, some international big artsy fartsy big money group bought it from him. I don't see anywhere where what they paid him for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they, I'm sure they paid him enough that he was like, yeah, all right,
yeah,
you can have it.
Well, the art firm said that it, because this was like in, this was years
ago. It was 2019 they bought it from
him. Yeah, it says that they spent years and thousands of dollars.
Yes.
On trying to determine
so
if,
they
if
didn't,
this was real.
They didn't know if it was real.
No.
They just paid him with the idea that it could be real, and they were going to take it and do the research, which I don't have any idea the links that they go to research this stuff.
They released a 456-page report.
Right.
That, in their mind, says this is a Van Gogh.
Citing multiple scientific tests.
If I thought I could create a Van Gogh out of a fake one, I would come up with a 500-page report, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know, like, if that only goes to further prove it, then yeah, throw it all at the wall. See what happens.
Yeah, so they have recently come out, the Van Gogh Museum recently come out and said that that portrait is not an original Van Gogh.
Because if it was, they're saying that it could be worth in the neighborhood of $15 million.
Which I thought was a little low.
I thought that was low, too. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's not a famous one, so...
But even so, if it's a famous artist's last work, that seems like it has major value.
I just like that, of course, the group that put together the 456-page report is like, no, it's real. And the museum's like, nah.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
It's called Elamar, and it's just some dude with a pipe.
Yeah, it's an old fisherman.
Yeah.
It's not very cool. And I love... Did you ever see the interactive Van Gogh Museum when it came?
No. My wife wanted to go.
It was really cool.
We never did.
It was neat. I really like Van Gogh, and I think his stuff is amazing.
I've been to that Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam. It's awesome.
Yeah. This this one?
It's no Mona Lisa.
This is two thumbs, man. But, you know, I don't know. But that's kind of my weird point about art, right? And... The fake art guy, this is what got me thinking about this whole thing. There was a guy that they believe is responsible for, some people say, up to 60% of major art traded, like to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars that this guy was painting Picassos and all this stuff and passing it off as the real deal. And it wasn't. It was all BS. It was all fake. But he fooled museums. He fooled million-dollar auction houses, all of it. Remember, he got caught because the only way they caught him is the white that he was using had a component to it that didn't exist when the paintings were supposed to be done.
Ah.
Someone used some sort of analytic thing or whatever and found that that was the one color.
So really close to an amazing forgery, but not quite.
Yes. Well, he fooled so many people that eventually on one of the paintings, one of the whites he used had an element in it that was not common in paint until, like, 1950
decades,
or whatever.
Hundreds
and they were
later,
like, no, that was the only way. And he wouldn't come clean. He admitted to doing like 70 forgeries and then was like, maybe there's more, maybe there's less. Wink, wink. So now there's a whole art crisis about no one knows what's real or not. And that goes back to this. So you either have a $50 weird painting of a fisherman that no one would think is good. No one would want to hang it up. Or you have a $15 million Van Gogh. Who's and so now you've got one group that spent thousands of dollars in several years and put together 450 pages. And then the Van Gogh Art Museum, and that's the part that pissed the art people off, they said they took less than a day to look at it and go, no. No, like, you didn't even look at our report. And they're like, it's not real. So who's right?
Well, don't you think, doesn't the museum have an interest in saying no?
I would think.
So
definitely.
They can get their hands on
it? Even if it were authentic, they might have it. Yeah, they have plenty of incentive to say that it's not.
Yeah.
Well, and how does the Van Gogh Museum know it's not?
They're the Van Gogh experts.
But, I mean.
I don't know, dude. You're venturing into a realm that.
But does the foremost Van Gogh expert just work at the Van Gogh Museum, or does he have his own job somewhere? Like, maybe they're not the authority they claim to be.
Right. What if the Van Gogh Museum cannot get the greatest Van Gogh expert to work for them. He won't work there.
Like, what if all the Van Gogh museums are knockoffs and they know the real ones are all out there in the world?
Well, I mean, it's just such a weird, I don't know, art is such a weird thing because, again, that painting is either worth $50 or $15 million. And it all just comes down to who painted it.
Well, that dude in Minnesota, he's the one that wins.
Yeah,
right. Because who, I mean, what do you think they paid him for that?
That's what I want to know is the people who thought it might be, what were they willing to fork over to find out?
Because they paid a lot of money to try to figure out if it was.
Sure.
So they have a lot of costs in this thing. I bet you they paid him $100,000 or something like that. I bet it's not as much as you think.
Yeah.
Because they know that guy needs them.
You could still throw out a number that'd be a really big deal to him, but that for art people wouldn't be that much.
To them, they don't care. We got $100,000 coming out of our ass.
Yeah. I mean, they spent it and... You know, what if,
and they spent way more than that trying to figure out if it was real.
Yeah, because I guess, if you do, let's say you gave the guy $100,000 and you spent $50,000 trying to authenticate it for a couple years, you know, to a big art group like that, you know, you're $150,000 in it. But if it hits, all of a sudden you got $15 million. Yeah, look up, by the way, if you ever want like to go down a weird rabbit hole, look at John Myatt, M-Y-A-T-T. And he was the guy that was convicted. He was a British painter, and he was convicted of art forgery. And he was he's dubbed the greatest art fraud of the 20th century. 1999, he was convicted of conspiracy to defraud. He got a couple months in prison, and he painted all of these, and it fooled like Sotheby's, like all the biggest auction houses in the world. He fooled them all. You know, so does that make that guy the greatest artist of all time? Because he can paint the exact same way that all these masters can, but he can do all their styles.
That's a good question.
Right? Like, why isn't that guy viewed then as
But he's copying, though.
Yeah, but he can. He can do all the different styles.
Yeah, but that's not an OG, bro. Get out of here with that.
Pretty good, right?
That's a good copy. I can copy.
Yeah, he said that it is believed that he painted at least 200 forgeries. And he eventually got arrested by Scotland Yard, and he quickly confessed. He created the painting using... And one of the things that he used to make it look older was he mixed KY jelly. He used lube into his painting.
All right, I got to talk about a show that has my wife and I a bit flummoxed in the Rop household. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to tune in next. Yeah. I think you guys have watched it.
Okay.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if you have or not. But we're going to talk about that next. Here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice to have you along. We are watching a show in our house. Just started it a couple nights ago.
What do you got?
And it is quite controversial because we both think it's absurd, but we kind of like it. And I am speaking of a show with Billy Bob Thornton.
I know where this is going.
Called Landman.
Landman.
Have you guys watched that yet?
No.
I've heard enough about it. I will probably dabble at some point, but I haven't dove in.
Here's my thing. I'm out on Taylor Sheridan.
You should be.
I can't. Or is it Tyler?
It's Taylor.
I don't know.
He might be the most overrated
figure
in American pop culture.
I just can't. And I like his movies. Like, he did Hell or High Water and Sicario, which I love.
He's Sons of Anarchy, the show, right?
No, he wasn't Sons of Anarchy.
I think he was.
He was on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, he was on Sons of
Anarchy. He was an actor.
Oh, okay.
That's what led to him writing his movies. He was
I thought he wrote that.
No, he was a bit. He played like one of the sheriffs, and he got tired of being a nobody, so he started writing. That was Kurt Suter that wrote that. Anywho, so, and the first season of Yellowstone I thought was really well done. And, dude, that show went downhill, and I can't with him. He Fonzarelli'd that damn shark for me so much. And when Landman came out, I started seeing some clips of Landman that were making the circulation.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is
so bad.
Dumb.
Okay, so this is what I was getting at. Okay, so Billy Bob Thornton might be my favorite actor.
Love Billy Bob
Thornton. He is so good.
And that's what originally was like, well, maybe I should try.
And he's really good in this show because he plays the same character and everything.
Yeah.
He is a drunk, sarcastic,
it's like an oil guy, right?
Angry smartass, right? Like that, it's perfect and he's funny. It's oil fields in Texas, and you really don't need to. I mean, like, the main storyline is, I mean, I guess it's like Taylor Sheridan's stuff. I'm sorry, it sucks.
Yeah.
But what he does have is he always has, and Yellowstone was the same way. He always has like this soap opera type feel that keeps stringing you along. There's always something that's like, oh, okay, I'm going to keep with this, but it's absurd. It's dumb.
I heard it described as a raunchier Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Which sounds just about right, because it was a show that was supposed to be on high school football, but it had all the soapy storylines that bring people back, and then it puts it in the kind of country mode.
I just think he's terrible.
Yeah.
But he's smart because he's tapping into the lowest common denominator, and sometimes that stuff. It's why crappy movies are sometimes a hit, because they're funny or this or that. He's got a formula that works.
Yeah.
There is so much fluff in his shows, so many storylines that are stupid, so much cheesy writing, and yet I watch them. And I'm going to watch the rest of Landman. I'm through 3 episodes, but to Buck's point, the storyline, so here's where it gets weird. The storyline with his daughter is the dumbest thing I have seen in years on television. It is so bad. But she's super hot.
Yeah.
Her name is Michelle Randolph. That's the actress. I just looked her up. She's 27. But what makes it weird is they sexualize the crap out of her on that show. And she's supposed to be 17.
As a teenager.
Yes.
As a young teenager.
She's walking around in bra and panties and a bikini the whole time.
Yeah.
And she's 17. It's just that it's so creepy and weird.
Well, the one, and this is, it's funny you mentioned this. So this is the clip that I saw where, that I was like,
In like the first episode.
I'm not going to watch this. So people were, I had a buddy of mine that was like, oh, Landman, I love Billy Bob. One of the best acting performances of all time is go watch the first season of Fargo, the TV show.
Oh, he's so good in that.
He is the villain in that, and it is one of the best performances. So I was intrigued by it, and there was a quote, and I forget exactly what it is, but he's talking to his daughter at like a football game or something, and he asks her if like she's having sex with his boyfriend, and the answer that she gives him is the dumbest.
And it's so explicit.
It's such a...
It comes out of nowhere.
And I just was like, you know what? No, we're not.
Daughter would say to
You're
their father
wrong.
Like that.
But then he says, I'm going to go get a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And then you're roped right back in.
And then
in.
She goes, thanks, Daddy. I could never talk to Mom like this.
Yeah, it, dude, it's, like, okay. It's really bad. And the mom, Billy Bob's ex, who is the mother of this Michelle Randolph, is played by Ali Larter.
Oh.
Who I have not
seen. The whipped cream bikini.
I swear to God, I have not seen her since Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
She looks great. Older, but great.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's done since Varsity Blues,
I don't know.
But she's a hot.
Yeah.
So she's in it. But
she does look great.
Their lines are so bad, and the acting is so bad. But then you have Billy Bob Thornton, and you have this kind of cool thing about oil and the rich oil guys trying to, like, working with the cartels and, like, the feds sniffing around. Like, it's kind of a cool concept, much like Yellowstone. But then you start watching, you go, what am I... I don't know how many times I am turning to my wife, looking at her, laughing like, what are we watching? And she's like, I know, but I can't stop. And I can't either.
Well, and that's why he's worth like a gajillion
dollars. That's exactly right.
They just keep giving that guy more money.
God.
And he keeps, like, he's got 9 different shows. He has stretched himself so thin that, and it doesn't matter. People keep eating it up.
And yes, you do see Ali Larter's up tops. Oh. They are free. In the show. Yes, you get this.
And it looks like she has been working pretty much nonstop since Varsity Blues. We just know nothing.
Do
you want me to start listing it off? Like,
anything that we would know?
Like, she was in like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm and an episode of Entourage.
So
and
she's just been a character actor.
Let's see. She's in a bunch of. She was in the TV series Heroes.
Oh, I remember.
In the Resident Evil series.
She's a working actress.
Yeah.
I know, but you'd think you would see... Like, Varsity Blues was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Think you'd see her somewhere.
She's just not that big of a star.
She's hot.
Yeah. She's one of those. I will contend the last season of Yellowstone might be the worst written thing I've ever seen.
Well, that's what this show's like.
In my entire life.
That's what Landman's like.
I heard something like that Taylor Sheridan like doesn't believe in having a writer's room or something like that. Like he doesn't have people like backing up and like helping tighten the script.
He's got a huge ego. I know a guy in Vegas who's spent some time with him and said that this. He said, "Here's a fun little Taylor Sheridan anecdote." He said that so he worked at the Wynn where I stay, and he said he's a marketing guy there.
Yeah.
So he said that. Taylor Sheridan, if you've ever been to the Wynn, you know that they use some of the steaks from Taylor Sheridan's ranch.
Yeah.
Well, for one of their steakhouses. Well, they were going to open up another steakhouse. Actually, it's a pop-up that's there now. What is it? Four Sixes is the ranch?
Yeah, whatever that six is.
That's Taylor Sheridan.
He bought it.
Taylor Sheridan's ranch.
Yes.
Okay, so they, before opening up this restaurant, they had to... go talk to Taylor Sheridan about what they were going to do at this restaurant with his ranch's name on it. And the chef and this guy had to go out there and sit down and like talk to Taylor Sheridan about what they were going to do. And he said he couldn't believe it, but Taylor Sheridan started telling this chef, this is a Michelin star chef.
Yeah.
Who is kind of inconvenienced by having to fly all the way to freaking Wyoming or wherever the hell he was to meet with him. He couldn't come to Vegas.
Yeah.
And Taylor Sheridan started telling him how to make things, telling him how to cook things. And he said he couldn't believe it, but he was like, wow, this dude is full of himself. He loves him some Taylor Sheridan. Yeah. So tells you what you need to know about Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah.
But he is wildly successful.
Successful, yeah.
And he's got another one coming out, a Yellowstone modern day
Yeah, they're gonna. It's gonna keep sequel. Going. Paramount, I think it is. Paramount gave him basically an unlimited check, and just said, "Whatever you write, we will. We'll just
people keep, will keep watching this. Yeah. You keep making it. We'll
the
keep
last season
it.
Of Yellowstone was basically just an advertisement for that Four Sixes thing. In every like episode, it was like.
I've never seen anything like him. Like no. It's like a soap opera. It meets. It's like Dallas. You remember the show Dallas?
Yep.
I mean, that was a bad show.
Well, look.
But we loved it.
Yeah, but I always you got to be careful because when you're in charge, it's like we talk about this with like sports documentaries, right? Like if I'm in charge of making a movie about me, guess what? I'm gonna look pretty effing great in it, and that's him. He just is so over the top about how awesome.
But it's not any good. Like, it's really bad writing.
Exactly. But try telling him that he should write less about how awesome he is.
Well, but my question is, why do we like it?
I don't.
Like, what?
I don't.
Well, but it's. I but people do. Yeah. It's not about you. He is really popular.
Yes.
So why? What does he have in? Like, is he laughing as he writes this crap going, these dummies are going to fall for this?
I believe he has tapped into the. Let me be careful. How do I say this?
I know exactly. I think I know what you're trying to say.
He is. it's so right.
He's opened up a new category for people who felt they've been marginalized
it's
in counter-culture, pop culture,
right? Yeah. So Hollywood and is very left. It's very
and it's been going more and more that way.
And it's been going more and more that way. And so like where counterculture came from, he developed a right wing counterculture, and he created this world where. It's a man's world, and the women love sex, but only from men. And we're into steaks and liquor, and like And he created America, And people people have been waiting for something like that. An election was based on that, and he has tapped into that. He is a walking American flag erection, and people eat it up.
But they don't care if it's any good.
No, there was a scene in Yellowstone where, like, Beth gets pulled over by the by a female cop, right? And she's an ass to the cop and gets caught speeding all this. And then she finds out that the husband works at the Four Sixes. And she's like, we know what it takes to put a steak on our table here in Texas. And does this whole, like, you can do whatever you want. Because you're part of the solution. You're married to one of the good guys. And it became a, like what we always do, we paint the hero and we paint the villain. And he has painted the hero as the ultimate John Wayne buckle up and it works.
True American cowboy.
And it doesn't matter how bad it is and how over the top it is.
Yeah, people don't care.
People don't care.
It's an ideal.
Show. Yeah, it's an idea. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The if you've watched Yellowstone, there's the crazy liberal lady that they paint as just crazy and doesn't know a thing.
She's
and
a dumb bitch that has no idea what she's talking about.
They have that in Landman, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
And how many times in that show, that character in Yellowstone was there for the only reason, she served no purpose other than for everyone to educate her about what a dumb liberal bitch she was.
Yeah.
And how she's a moron, and if she would just see it this way, she would be awesome.
You're starting to describe why it's like when you look at all of the storylines like in Yellowstone or this show
that.
There's so many of them that don't mean any like they just don't pertain to anything
but
and
that.
you wonder like why is that there and it's for that it's the signaling
it's to keep
of,
that audience coming back
and by the way like this happens on the other side when James Cameron who is a famous lefty have you ever watched Avatar I can't do
Avatar. I fell asleep. But
I can't do Avatar, but I remember this. Sitting in the... Avatar was good, by the way, when it's called Dancing with Wolves. The main character in Avatar is paralyzed, right? That's why he goes and becomes the Avatar, so he can run around. But he's in a wheelchair. There is a line at the beginning of Avatar that is just there to give an FU to the right, to the military complex. Which, by the way, that whole movie is about how... The military and profiteers and the...
Destroy our beautiful world.
Destroy our beautiful world. That's all that is. And there is a line at the beginning of that where the guy who's a Marine that becomes paraplegic. And he says, he's like, yeah. He goes, in today's world, you can get your spine fixed, but not on a military man's salary. And you're like, oh my God, James, can you be more heavy-handed? So he's literally being like, The military blew me up, and I'm now in a wheelchair, and I could fix it if only I made enough money, but the healthcare, I'm like, how heavy-handed can you be? And all that is, and that movie, by the way, made $1 trillion or whatever, and Sheridan was like, okay, well, watch this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do the exact opposite.
Give him credit.
Same thing.
But it's really bad.
Yeah. Listen to the dialogue in Avatar. It's the same thing where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe people like this.
With Landman, Billy Bob Thornton is fan-freaking-tastic.
And have you gotten to the Emmy-worthy Jerry Jones cameo yet?
Not yet.
Because apparently that's a thing.
And glory holes.
Yeah, I guess the Emmys do have a category for like a bit part or a guest actor, and I heard someone from Variety say expect him to get nominated. He will get at least nominated for an Emmy award.
Goodness, dude, I just
smiles and glory holes.
I thought when you said that she went topless, it was like more Allie like Larden. A side.
No, it's her.
Whoa,
yeah, she's hot.
God, bless America. All right. Gonna watch Landman.
All right. Yeah, it's if you want that specific scene, I think it's in episode. It's either episode 2 or 3.
I know why you're watching Landman.
But I love Billy Bob. I think Billy Bob's real good. Okay, we gotta go. Wrap it up next one.
I would just like to state for the record that after seeing one of the scenes of Allie Larder in
Larder
or Larder
in Larder. Man, can you say it?
What is it?
Allie Larder.
Larder.
There you go.
I have. I take back everything I said about Landman, and I will be watching
that show. It's been on my list. I think Sook and I are both going to have to dive in.
You said that. Well, wait till you see the young girl. And she's not young. Yeah, she's 27.
No, she's but cast she is, as young, even though she's 27 in real life.
I made a controversial statement.
She is a smoke show.
Up against it. I, as an old creepy man, I prefer this Allie than young, hot. I will take the 45-year-old.
Wait. That's an unfair fight because you have plastic surgery and all of it. So, like, young Allie Larder in Varsity Blues does not have the benefit of all the things that old Allie Larder has to stay young. So, Allie Larder now, I am telling you, she is fire.
She is hotter than when she was in Varsity Blues.
She is, but again, that's I think all women at that age, all actresses, are going to be hotter at this age than they are younger because of plastic surgery and, you know, things that they can do.
I love those Lake Obama.
But she looks fantastic. You know, Demi Moore is in it, too.
Yeah,
and cool. She looks old as dirt.
Unfortunately, she's like 60 now.
She looks like.
There's a limit.
At first, I didn't even recognize her. I'm like, who's that old lady? Oh, Demi Moore.
Yeah,
here we go. We're back tomorrow. These are the at the Fin. Andrew Nemec coming up at the Fin. Become Johnny with the power and the glory. Red ships of Spain. Red ships of
Spain. Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.